Over the past couple of weeks, I have been working my way through a series of messages that I have titled The Badge of Authority. And in these messages, I have been speaking with you about how to take authority over the things that Satan does in your life. I will say to you again this morning, I believe with all of my heart that God has something very special in store for you this year. I do with all my heart. I believe God is going to set you apart and that He is going to use you for His glory if you will allow Him to do so. The Spirit of God has already been moving in this church this year to the point that we have had 13 new births, new conversions. Already. We're talking about not rededications. We're talking about people that accepted Jesus into their life for the very first new conversion, new birth. 13, and it's 3 weeks into the year. We've already, after this service will be over, in the second service, we will have baptized 11 of those. Have the rest of them scheduled for next week. God is moving. And I believe this is only the beginning of what He wants to do in your life, if you will allow Him to do so. I believe that with all of my heart. God's got something in store for you. But I'll say this to you as well. I believe before God can use you the way God wants to use you, we first have to come to that place in our life where we have taken authority over the things that Satan is doing in our lives. If we don't, it will stop us from moving forward the way God wants us to move forward. We can't move forward doing the things that God wants us to do if we allow Satan to tromp around in our life and do whatever he wants to, whenever he wants to, however he wants to. That's not God's place for your life. That's not His will, man. God's got something in store for every one of you. But each one of us are going to have to learn to take authority over those things that Satan is doing in our life. I want to say to you right up front that as you begin to learn how to take authority over those things that Satan does in your life, he's going to try and convince you that you do not have authority to stop him from doing anything. He's going to try and convince you that you do not have and have not been given that authority. Look up here. I say to you this morning, it's a lie. That is a bold-faced lie. He will say to you that Jesus gave authority to the 12 original disciples. He will say to you that He even passed it on to the 72 that followed afterward, but you are not one of them. And that you do not have that authority. And I want to say to you that it is a lie from the beginning. Jesus Christ gave you the same authority. Let me tell you something. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus, if you have accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior, if you have received Him in your heart and you call upon Him as Lord, He has given you the same authority that He gave those 12 disciples and gave you the same mission that He gave those 12 disciples. Every single one of us have been given that authority and the same mission to carry out. And when we begin to listen to Satan and listen to him tell us how that's not true for our life, that was back then, that was back in the old days. That was back when the 12 original disciples were there. And it is a lie. It is an absolute lie. But let me tell you something. He will say that to you to stop you in your tracks. And it's important that we understand that. In these last two series, parts of this series, I have shared with you how Satan will attempt to control you through your thoughts. Listen to me. He will attempt to control you through your thoughts. And in doing so, he will use a first-person language. Satan will not speak to you and say to you, you can't do that. He will whisper in your ear and he will say to you, I can't do that. I've never been good enough to do that. He will whisper to you and say to you, my life will never change. I'm not strong enough to change. You see, he will whisper to you in a first-person language, because if he can make you believe that his thoughts are your thoughts, then he can control your life. Do you understand? If Satan can control your thoughts, man, he can control your life. And that's his objective. He wants to take control of everything in your life. And he will stop at nothing to accomplish it. He will stop at nothing to accomplish it. But let me tell you something. We do not have to sit back and let him have his way in our life. You do not have to sit back and let him have his way in your life. You have been given the authority through the power of Jesus Christ to stop him where he stands if you will receive it and use it. The Word of God says to us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus was speaking. It says Paul was speaking, but he's talking of Jesus. He said his intent, look at this, was that now through the church, his intent, Jesus' intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. You see, Jesus wants us, the church, to become that vessel by which God's wisdom, God's power, and God's authority is made known to the rulers in the heavenly realms. It is God's will for us to make this known. But do you realize there are still some Christians out there that are asking, what authorities? What rulers? Wait, you mean we've got a heavenly realm? And we can joke about that, and we can smile about that, but in the process of doing so, Satan is running all over their life. He's having his way in their life. Because they don't understand. They don't get it. I want to read a quote to you that Dr. Neil Anderson wrote in one of his books. Here's what he said. He said, how are we going to fulfill our calling in the world if we don't believe what God says about the kingdom of darkness? Some are pleading, listen to me. He said, some are pleading, oh God, please help us. The devil is roaring at us. And God responds, I've done all I'm going to do. I defeated and disarmed Satan at the cross. I conferred all authority on you in Christ. Now open your eyes, realize who you are, and start living accordingly. This is what Paul said to us in Colossians 2:15. Look at that. When he said, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Guys, Satan's already been defeated. He has already been, if you have been bought and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, he has no authority over you. Man, you got to get that. You have to understand that. You have to reach out and get you some of that. If you have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and you call upon Him as your Lord and your Savior, Satan has no authority in your life. Now that groundwork has been laid, let's talk about us. Let's talk about where we stand as Christians when it comes to using that authority that God has given to us. I believe that every one of us, I believe every Christian wants to be an authority figure when it comes to Satan. I believe that is a desire of every Christian. I think we all want that. You see, we don't want him running over our lives. How many times, you guys, look up here just real quick. Come on, look at me. Look at me. How many times in your lives has things been going wrong in your home and in your life, with your family, with your kids, with your husband, with your wife, with your marriage? And you know deep in your heart, that Satan is having a field day. How many times has that gone on in your life? I mean, come on. Aren't we tired of it? Let's get past the preaching. Let's get past being the preacher and all that. And let's just get real. Aren't you just tired of it? Man, you have the ability to make it stop. You have the ability to stop him where he stands if you choose to do it. And I believe every one of us wants that. Nobody likes getting beat up. Nobody likes having our lives turned upside down. But let me tell you something else. I also believe the number one reason that we do not exercise the authority that God has given to us, listen to me, is that we don't know how. We don't know how to use it. And I want to tell you something this morning. It is not a matter of using God's authority. It is a matter of living a consistent life of authority. Authority is not something you can turn on and turn off. Authority is not something that you can call upon at will and it'll be there and then go away the moment you don't need it. Authority, it's not a matter of you using the authority that God has given to you. It's simply a matter of living a life of authority that God has given to you. That's the bottom line. The question comes out, then how do I do that, Pastor Rocky? How do I begin to live a life of authority in Christ Jesus? We have to go back to these scriptures, guys. And we have to read where Jesus himself said that I have given you the authority. I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing's going to harm you. He said, I've given you all of that authority. Were they on a mission? Yes. Are you on a mission? Yeah, I hope you're on a mission. Would Jesus send them out and give them the authority to protect themselves and not send you out with that same authority? My Lord ain't going to do that. Ain't probably in a good word, is it? But he ain't. He's going to give you the same authority that he gave them because he gave you the same mission. How do we live it? I want to share with you just briefly four character qualities that I believe every Christian must have in their life. They must possess these qualities in order to live a life of authority in Christ Jesus. The first one is belief. There has to be a character quality of belief in your life. Now listen to me. Why is this so important? Well, simply because if you do not believe, listen to me, if you do not believe that you have been given the authority over the kingdom of darkness, then you will more than likely not exercise that authority. If Satan can convince you that you do not have that authority, you will not attempt to use it. You have to believe that Jesus Christ gave you that authority. If you do not use it, you will remain passive and Satan will have a field day in your life just like he's doing in some of your lives, man. Look up here. Satan is having a field day in our lives, guys. He's tearing homes apart. He's got children out there on the street. He's got families, man, that are so in debt they can't even feed their children. He's got men strung out on alcohol and drugs and they take care of these things instead of their children and their wives. He's got adultery going on in families. He's got addictions. He's got bondages. He's got these things all locked down because we are caught up in a passive life. And we won't stand up. We won't stand up and exercise the authority that we have because we just don't believe we have it. And Satan is having a field day. Let me tell you something. The authority that God has given you is exercised in your willingness to believe that you have it. That's it. Because you will not exercise something that you don't think you got. You won't do it.
Look at what God's Word says about belief. Look at this. In Matthew 16:16, Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." You want to talk about the power of belief? Look at that. This is your Savior. Whoever believes. He went on to say in Matthew 21:22, look what he said. He said, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." I'm going to throw a Pastor Rocky thing in there and say, according to God's will. If you believe, you will receive. Over in Mark chapter 5, it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid." Look at that. Just believe. Just believe. You see, there's great power in believing what God says to you. There's great power in believing. C.H. Spurgeon said, I would recommend that you either believe God up to the hilt or else not to believe Him at all. Believe this book of God, listen to me, every letter of it, or else reject it. He said, because there is no logical standing place between the two. Take it all or don't take none of it. But don't pick and choose through it what fits your life and say, oh, this is good and this is not. Take it all or don't take it none. You will never exercise the authority that Jesus Christ gave you over Satan until you truly believe that you possess that authority. I have a question. Do you believe it? No, I'm serious. Not sitting here in church on Sunday morning. I'm talking about we're out of church, in your car, driving down the road, nobody there but you, getting ready to go back home. Do you believe that you possess the authority to stop Satan in his tracks? You need to ask yourself that. Because if you do not believe that, you will not exercise that. And if you do not exercise that, he will have a field day in your life. We have been given a badge of authority. But we must wear it. Second character quality is humility. And this simply means to demonstrate gentleness and meekness in your life. There is a grave misconception about humility. A lot of people believe that humble people are supposed to be passive and that they're not supposed to cause any ripples in the ponds of life. We're just supposed to be passive people and that's it. And let me tell you something. That is another lie that Satan is whispering in your ear. That is another lie that he whispers here to make us believe that we are supposed to be passive and nothing else. Just because a person has humility or is considered to be a humble person does not mean that they are to lie down and let Satan have his way in their life. John Ruskin said, "I believe the first test of a truly great man is his humility." He said, "I do not mean by humility a doubt of his own power or a hesitation in speaking his opinion." He said, but really great men have a feeling that the greatness, listen to this, is not in them, but through them. And that they could not be or not do or be anything other than what God made them. God didn't create you to sit back on your stool and do nothing while Satan has his way in your life. You were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You understand? And we don't have to sit back on our stool of do nothing and do nothing. Humility is power under control. It is a power that is harnessed to be used only when necessary. And we are to live it out every day of our life. How are you doing with that? How are we doing with that? The third quality, character quality, is boldness. You have to have a life of boldness. The original word, the original translation is parousia. And that word means to be free from fear. It doesn't mean that you're not afraid to step out in front of a truck. It doesn't mean stupidity. But it means to be free from fear as far as your own anxieties and as far as your own shyness. Boldness, parousia, means to stir up the courage that God has placed within you, the assurance and the confidence that God has placed within you, and boldly stand up against whatever it is in your life that's walking all over you. Boldness, parousia. Why? Why are we called to live a life of boldness with humility? Why are we called to live that? Let me tell you why. Because when we're not living a life of boldness, then we're living a life of fear. And when you live a life of fear, everything, including the work of God, will fade behind whatever it is that you're afraid of. When we're afraid of something, man, it's right there. We can't see anything but right there. When there's trouble in your life, it's right there. And we can't even work. We can't minister. We can't do much of anything without seeing it right there in our face. God's Word says that we are to live a life of boldness because fear cripples us, man. Emotionally and spiritually and physically to the point that we can't do God's work. We're called to live a life of boldness. When the disciples were in that upper room praying for direction to go forth and fulfill the ministry that was laid upon them. The Word of God says in Acts 4:31, He says, after they prayed, look at this, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. Boldly. About, I guess it's been probably close to 4 years now. My wife was under attack. And she was under major attack. You see, I know that Satan believes if he can take my family down, he can get to me. And I have this big target on me that says pastor on the back. And his goal is to hit the bullseye every time. And about 4 years ago, my home was under attack. And my wife was so sick, and the doctors couldn't figure out why she was sick. And she lay over in that bed for 4 to 5 days at a time and couldn't get up. And when she did get up, it was only for a few minutes because she couldn't stay up. She was so sick. Headaches so bad that she would get in a fetal position and just rock. You ever get mad? Just downright mad. I got mad at Satan. I went beyond angry. And I started foaming. I was mad. I walked across this parking lot and I headed to my house and I walked in the door. I don't even know if I closed the door. And God is my witness, my hands to God. I walked in that house and I walked back to that back bedroom and I said, baby, get up. She said, I can't get up. I said, get up. She said, okay. She got up and I started walking her down the hallway. And when we reached the kitchen part of that hallway down there, we stopped. And I got her by her hands and I began to pray for her. And I told Satan that he's got no place in my house, in my life, in the life of my family. And I said to him that I have been given the authority through the power of Jesus Christ to send you out of my house and back to hell where you belong, and you will not stay here. And I said to him, I said, I demand that you let go of my wife that you let her have her life back. I demand that you take your hands off of her in the name of Jesus right now. And when I said that, her knees buckled and she went down. And I grabbed her just as she hit the floor. And I fell down on her and started praying for her. And when she got up, she ain't had no more migraine headaches. Unless, of course, she ends up with this MSG thing she's got. But Satan ain't got no hold on my house no more. Let me tell you something. Do you think Jesus would give me that without giving it to you? He don't love me no more than he loves you. But there has to come a point where we begin to demonstrate boldness in our life if we want Satan to walk away from us. There comes a point in our life where we have to get real. God don't do good with cowards. Look what he said in Revelation 21:8. Look at this. Come on, guys. This is real serious stuff here. He said, the cowardly, the unbelieving. He said, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and the liars. Do you notice they're all in one big clump here? Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Do you know he has put the cowardly right up there with the murderers? Look at that verse of Scripture. And we go back here, guys. Look here. It's all or nothing. He has put the cowardly, the unbelieving, right in there with the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, those who practice magic arts, witches. Put them all in the same category. It's kind of obvious here, guys, that God is not pleased with anyone who chooses to live a cowardly, unbelieving life, not standing up for what God has given to them, but instead just limps along from day to day. God's not pleased with that. God's not pleased with that. We need to live a life of boldness. Let me ask you something. When Satan looks at your life, what does he see? I'm serious. What does he see a life of boldness? Or does he see a Christian man or woman crying out to God, make him stop! Just make him stop! And God saying to you, I've done all I'm going to do. I defeated him at the cross. I conferred all the authority on my son, all of the authority of my son onto you. Now open your eyes. Stand up and be who I've called you to be and do what I've told you to do. And he'll leave you alone. Who does he see? When Satan looks at you, does he see a life of boldness? Or does he stand there and watch you cry out to God and make him stop? The fourth one is dependence. Dependence. And I really need you to understand something here. The authority that Jesus Christ has given to you is not an independent authority. You have been given the authority to do the will of God in your life and no more. You do not have an independent authority to be able to run out here and do whatever it is that you want to do according to your plan. We have the authority to do God's will in our life and nothing more. Now, what does that mean? First of all, it means that your authority is not to be exercised over another believer unless God has put you in that position. God's Word says that we are to work together and with one another, and that we are to submit to those that He has put over us, and to follow their lead unless they're stepping outside of what God's will is for our life. Second, it means that you can't go charging out into the world looking to pick a fight with Satan. If you go charging out into the world looking to pick a fight with Satan, you're going out on your own. Listen to me. There's a story in God's Word in Acts 19 that tells us what happens to those who try to deal with Satan with independent authority. Look at this. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits. Tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. And one day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. And he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. You see, the authority that God has given to you is not an independent authority. Therefore, your primary focus is on kingdom work. It's on kingdom work and accomplishing God's plan for your life. Now listen to me. If Satan comes at you and rears up his ugly head at you while you are in the midst of doing God's work, you have been given the authority to stand up and remove him from around you. Within you is not the right word. You have been given the authority to stop him right in his tracks. I want to close all this with a clip. Shut these lights down for me, if you will. I want to, and in this clip, this is a, you're going to see Jesus in the garden. This is from the Passion. And when I was preparing this message, all I could see was this part of this message demonstrating the authority to you that you have been given. Jesus is in the garden and Satan is in the background. And I want you to watch what happens here.
My God,
see what Jesus did there?
And I'm not well. How about that showing up there? Not very well. Do you guys remember the movie Passion? Remember where the snake come out? Remember when the snake crawled at Jesus' feet? Jesus simply went. That's the authority that Jesus Christ has given to you. That's the authority that He has given to you if you will simply receive it. If you will exercise it. But listen to me. You have to believe. You have to believe that you have that authority. You have to believe that Jesus Christ loves you enough that He has given you the authority to protect yourself. That belief, y'all stand up. Come on, stand up. I want to say this to you, and I want you to hear me. There's some of you here this morning. Your life is miserable. And guys, listen to me. We come into church and we expect God to change us, but we don't receive what He has for us. We want Him to change us on our terms, and God will not change you on your terms. We have to move to His terms. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, if you have never truly received Him as your Lord, you can't believe. You don't have the authority because it has not been conferred on you. And therefore Satan is having a field day in your life and you can't stop him, because there's only one power in all of the universe that can stop him. And it ain't yours. It comes through Jesus Christ. And you have to receive Him, but you have to believe. You have to live a life of humility, not arrogance. You can't run through the house stomping feet and throwing things and expect God to honor that. There has to be humility in your life, and Satan has to see that on a consistent basis. There has to be boldness, a boldness to stand up against whatever is going on in your life and cast it out. But you have to live that daily. You have to live it daily. There has to be dependence, knowing that you can't do it on your own. So I'm simply going to say this. How are you doing with these things, guys? Satan having a field day in your life? Want it to stop? It starts with belief, right here. If you need humility, get your bad self up here and bend your knee. You see, that's the first step towards humility. Is leaving your arrogance at the feet and getting up here and just bending a knee before the Lord. If you need some boldness, then humbly get yourself out of those chairs and get up here and say, God. And if you truly need to understand your dependence, it all starts right here. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what Satan's whispering in your ear. I can't trust you. Not anymore. And we believe it. I don't love you. Or you don't love me. And we believe it. I'll never change. This is who I am. It's a lie. No one ever met Jesus and walked away unchanged. But we're listening to Him as He destroys our homes, our children, our families, our lives. He destroys it, and we won't stand to take a place against it. It all starts right here. And I don't know what your need is or if you have a need. And if you're living fine, hound hog, You just stay right there and hold on back that chair. And that chair holds you up. But if you really need the Lord to pull you through something here, if you need Jesus in your life, humility, dependence, boldness, whatever it is, right here's where you'll find it. Don't have to be a member of this church. Don't ever have been here before. Altars are open for everybody. And the Spirit of God just simply says, come. Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, that you would burden the hearts of those who need to be here and move upon them, Lord God, just to seek your face. All in your name, Jesus. Amen.